This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, August 24, 2024, the Feast of the Apostle Bartholomew, by Father William Doc Holliday.
On the foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. In that description that St. John the Divine has when the angel shows him the bride of Christ, the wall of that city had 12 foundations, and in them and on them, the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Like I said, this is prefaced by what is John looking at, right? Come and I will show ye the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's the church, that's us. We see a very sharp contrast in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, very, all kind of books been written on all kind of different opinions of this, that, and the other thing, what this means, and is it different times, or is it the same incident, all this kind of stuff, because it's apocalyptic literature. It is very obscure. Apocalyptic literature is like that because some people are trying to describe something that they have no concept about. They're trying to describe something that is overwhelming to them. However, when they are told what they are seeing, they, in this case, St. John is seeing the bride of Christ. This is chapter 21. In chapter 17, almost the same exact words are used about this same angel in the same way with the same things that he's holding, showing him something else. In 17, I will show thee the condemnation of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Again, apocalyptic literature, but if you pay attention to what's going on, you got the same exact angel taken to show him two different things. For one thing, it shows the opposition between the bride of the Lamb and the great harlot. It shows an opposition, in our terminology, the world and heaven. They show this opposition. But what's really interesting is when you see the emphasis in the bride of Christ being laid on foundations. Contrary to what you hear a lot in this day, rigidity is something that Jesus really, really appreciates. That whole build your house on a rock. Last time I looked, rocks were rigid. They are foundational. They're immovable. This is what we want. Okay. You don't want something removable. And you see the same exact thing here. In this opposition, you see the contrast. One is the condemnation of the world. The other is the exaltation of heaven. Heaven is laid on foundations, and the world, the harlot, rests on many waters. The church rests on one foundation, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, the apostles being that foundation upon which it's laid. One thing. It's monolithic. Okay, that's what we serve. One holy Catholic and apostolic church. This is where this comes from. On the other hand, the world, the great harlot, she is standing on many waters. It's not good if you stand on water because you can't. You can't stand on water. And he even describes it as being worse than that. They stand on many waters. It's this water one day, it's this water the next day. Never rigidity, never anything that's going to hold anything up, but they just jump back and forth between these different waters. This is that opposition between the world and heaven. And the thing that makes them different is a foundation. This is what this is all about. It's kind of interesting, the opposition thing too. It's kind of interesting that St. John, that angel, comes with the same stuff and he shows him the harlot. When he shows him the harlot, he takes him out into the desert. And when he takes him to admire the bride of Christ, he takes him up on high. So you see that difference. You also see that kind of speaks to when our Lord goes out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. This is the opposition that our Lord is trying to get across to us with this. And that opposition being so dramatic, but also that the end all be all is upon what it are either built, many waters or a single foundation. That Christ being the chief cornerstone, God's presence fills the church and transfigures her. He changed her. He makes her strong. If you got a decent foundation, you can continue to add on and build up on a decent foundation as long as the foundation is whole. And when we look at the foundations of the church, again, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, you get into this understanding of, yes, indeed, monolithic. Christ is the chief cornerstone. But when you look at the apostles, you have basically different compositions of that foundation. It's like, oh, this is going to be a foundation. For instance, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. That's one kind of rock. Okay, we're going to have a foundation that's going to have a layer of marble. And then the next layer is going to be granite. And then the next layer is going to be concrete. The same foundation, but different levels. But Christ being there always as that cornerstone that makes it unshakable. But when you look at the 12 apostles, each of them brings something else to the table. Again, God's presence fills and transfigures the church. But how is that accomplished in this world? It's accomplished through the church. It is God, because Jesus ascended into heaven over 2,000 years ago. That's where he remains. He is with us in the Eucharist. He's with us in the priesthood. He's with us in all these other sacramental ways. But he personally is up there. So what has he done? He has left his church down here to show forth the good pleasure of God. The Son and the Holy Spirit working together in this world to do the good pleasure of God through us. The Holy Spirit illumines, guides, directs our Lord Jesus Christ and died for our sins that we can engage in that. This is what this is all about. We are God's presence. It's kind of overwhelming to think about it as Catholics. We are God's presence in this world to show some semblance, some little semblance of heaven in this dark and dreary place. That's what we're supposed to do. That whole salt and light thing. That's what we're all about. But it has to be found out. It can't, oh, I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that. We call that Protestantism. Me and my Bible, me and the Holy Spirit. No, it doesn't work like that. It's me and the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That makes it effective. If you want to be Pollyannish about this whole thing, even that, the building kind of sways. That is a good analogy, though. Didn't even think about this before. The building may sway occasionally, but it's not going to topple because the foundation's good. If the foundation's good, a building can withstand all kinds of these. You see, particularly places like are really, really earthquake prone, like in Japan, their buildings are built to withstand earthquake. I mean, you watch some of these films like security cam when an earthquake, it's like other buildings are falling around. This one building's just like, it's moving, but it's not going anywhere. Why? The foundation's good. The foundation's good. It's composed of different things. That's what makes it so effective. Is there different layers of different things that absorb the shock of the, that's the church. This is the 12 apostles. So when we look at this, we are members of a celestial city right now. Can you really think about that whole, when St. John's looking at this and they're coming down and it's kind of interesting. The city from heaven is coming down, the bride of Christ, but their angels are standing guard over it. A little footnote on that, because my devotion to the holy angels. You look at that, the city of God coming down from heaven has to have celestial guards. God is not going to leave the guarding of the new heavens and the new earth to the B team that was down here. He's going to leave it in the hands of angels that have always stayed with him. So, we see that this is the glorious thing of which we're part of. This glorious edifice that is the Catholic Church that's built on the foundation of the apostles. As I said before, the preaching of the apostles is to the church what a foundation is to a building, but there are 12 apostles. No, Jesus didn't just call one. He just didn't call one. He called 12. The whole 12 thing, it's very Hebrew, very, as far as numerology goes, speaks of perfection. But when you look at this perfection, again, perfection comes from a unity in Christ, but Christ does not want us, or actually, he will use us, giving our various talents and our various proclivities. This is why the apostles, after our Lord ascended to heaven, they went all different places. They all didn't hang out initially until Pentecost. After Pentecost, boom, here, there, everywhere. They just go all by themselves, and they spread the gospel. And when they went to spread the gospel, it was not just a matter of speaking philosophically. It wasn't a matter of I got sent over here. We're going to start a church. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That doesn't fly with people, particularly if you're talking about changing their religion. This is like huge for people. So what has to be done? That cannot be human in nature. This has to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to work through these individuals. And St. Ambrose, in an exposition on St. Bartholomew, he said, when you look at the apostles, it is, I quote, not with bodily feet that they spread the gospel, but by high deeds they climbed the mountain. The whole mountain thing, you know, that's very, very church fathers, because it's very, very Jesus. You look at the New Testament, even the Old Testament, all kind of references to mountains. When God gives the law, Mount Sinai, he's always going up. He never just stands on a plain somewhere. He always goes up on a mountain. When our Lord Jesus Christ, he took the apostles, right before something big happened, take the apostles onto a mountain, and they would all go up to a mountain, and he would pray. This is it's interesting to look at this whole mountain thing, and that's why St. Ambrose said, to climb the mountain, to be with Jesus, so to speak, it can't just be bodily stuff. It can't be just talking and knowing in your head a bunch of different facts about this, that, and other thing. You have to, by, as he says, high deeds. You look at the apostles. I mean, what was the ultimate high deed of each and every one of them? Their martyrdom. Except for St. John, who wrote this for us so we would know about all these things and be able to put it together. But not that he didn't have his own living martyrdom himself. His martyrdom actually lasted a lot longer than theirs did. But if you look at some of the things, I mean, particularly St. Bartholomew, you know, sometimes I get into the gore details of how he was executed, other times I don't. But I mean, yeah, out of all of them, that's like, you know, out of all the way the apostles were killed, I think that St. Bartholomew, I don't want that one. That would be like the last one on my list as to how to be executed. That's a high deed. That's a high deed to know that something like that's going to happen to you. You go, whatever. That's grace. You know, everybody's like, oh, I'll be overwhelmed to somebody. You'll receive the grace if you ever have to be flayed alive. That's just how the Holy Spirit works. But this is the high deed. We do things. We just don't talk to people about things. You do things for people. St. Ambrose goes on, what does it not behoove you to do for your salvation? You know, you look at the way St. Bartholomew was executed. You think, man, what? St. Ambrose, you should do anything. It doesn't matter how horrible. It doesn't matter how horrible. It doesn't matter how offensive it is to other people. It doesn't matter how many people don't like you for it. It is inconceivable, if you think of eternal salvation, what you would not do for it. It is really unfathomable to think that way. If you speak of eternal, we say that word so often. Eternal salvation. Eternal, oh yeah, Jesus, I go to church on Sunday, so I'm going to get to go to heaven someday. Maybe. Okay, if you love a life of faith and obedience, if you just don't rely on your feet to go here and there on a Sunday, but you do high deeds in your life, that's how you get the mountain. This is our Lord's teaching. We cannot be presumptuous on this. This takes effort. We will be repaid for this stuff. So when you look at it, he chose these men for mission, these apostles. He chose, always emphasize, sounds so campy, but I mean, he didn't take rich people or people in authority or anything. He took fishermen, uneducated people, people that were poor, people that people didn't like, they were rich by ill-gotten gains, the tax collector, he brings all these. Why? Yeah, we hear the story, but I mean, really, the men that he called really cover all the bases of anyone that would be a naysayer as to how people were converted. Because sometimes people follow after people. Why? Because they're powerful. They're rich. We need that as a society. Somebody's rich and powerful, you follow after them. Okay? You want to be part of that. Groupies, we call them. You want to be a groupie? No, we're not going to have groupies. There is no reason to follow any of these guys. They're not going to dazzle you with wither. Well, they're converted because he couldn't answer his cogent arguments about Jesus. And that's not what Jesus wants. You don't want anybody to look at him. Well, they're really smart guys, you know, and you can't confute what they say. They're not. They're fishermen. So it doesn't have anything to do with wise, you know, again, they're fishermen, they're not rich, so people don't, you know, they bought their way into the church, they just wanted to, you know, they paid for their vote, so to speak. None of these things apply when you look at the apostles. This is what I mean about 12 different personalities, that every one of those personalities not only add to the foundation, but they confute any naysayer as to whether or not, you know, why a person would want to be founded on that foundation. This is what we do. So what the apostles taught, this is the foundation, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without one of them deviated from what our Lord Jesus Christ taught, this is why it's so important, always emphasizing, for you to know your faith. You need to know your faith. You need to know what your church has always taught. I'm not going to give a commercial for it, but something really cool is coming down the pike. It's a catechetical tool, and it's, I was looking at it this week, it is absolutely tremendous. Absolutely, it's basically a search engine, and you put in your question, however you want to word it, boom, 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 like that, and you punch in, and it just kicks out all the traditional, solid catechisms throughout history and makes reference to them. Tremendous resource. People need that. Like, we talk about trying to push something like that because it's necessary in our day. It's necessary. You can't go to mass here, there, and trust if you don't know who's speaking to you, no matter what color cassock he's wearing. Get out of my polish his speech. But as soon as he says something, you might not know. It just doesn't sound right. That it just doesn't sound right, then you know. This is that foundational thing. We need to have this. What they taught is of necessity for us, not what we're hearing nowadays, unless it conforms with what they taught. So, you know, what they thought, we're not perfect. Even in that reading St. Ambrose this morning, he actually interjected about himself. He's talking about something about Scripture. He said, unless I'm mistaken, this is St. Ambrose. I mean, the guy converted St. Augustine. St. Augustine, St. Ambrose converted him. So he knows what, unless I'm mistaken, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. The guy's a saint, he's a bishop, and he was talking about Scripture. He goes, unless I'm mistaken, you got to be humble, and this is what we have to do. We have to lay that foundation. Or I should say, we have to stand on that foundation. Christ has always laid it. And that foundation is knowing your faith. Okay, because if you don't know your faith, you can walk off. And the Father and the Son, Holy Ghost.